Blog Talk Radio. but I myself would not go. And as more and more of the people through my immediate circle began to travel in Alaska, I began to wonder, well, what's really the hang up? Well, years ago, a man of God said to me, I was standing to help him. And he said to me, this is not unto death. God said to tell you that you're not going to die. You don't have to worry about that. That you're going to die on the mission. Now, of course, people are about to get shot. Thank God for that. But that seed went inside of me. So I think in my mind at that time, the definition of mission field was for me. How many of you know that the flesh out of Chicago could be a business? But that's not what I thought. And that theater set up a team. I had to address it. I had to pray through it. And then I had to get on the plane with my feet to international battle. And God bless us. He said, and I thank God for overcoming it. The certain things we want to address now that one of our listeners has that up there is the fear of failure. Amen. Let's have some practical application to address that. The fear of failure means that I'm willing to stay satisfied of where I am rather than take the chance or opportunity to step forward. Now, the practical application is to make out a point. The thing that you're looking for success in is when we make a plan for that.
We make a plan for success. We break down the steps of it. So then if I'm going to open a company, then I do background on companies in the area where I want to be. I see how many customers I would be able to service. Is there anyone else already servicing them? Is the need great enough for me to make a profit, right? That's the business end of it. But when we look at the fear of failure in our personal lives, then we have to begin to address the way that we think about ourselves and the way that we think about the God that we serve, amen? Because if I know that God's thoughts towards me are good and not evil, for an expected end and a good success, then if I believe that, right, then I'm going to begin to rehearse what God said about me. Amen. Sister Stephanie, I see that question. I'm going to address that. God said that his thoughts towards me were good and not evil, that they were for a good success and for a future. He tells me that he didn't give me the spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. So then when I find myself in a battle with fear, I know that the antidote to fear is faith. And I begin to put more faith inside of me, then it becomes greater and stronger than the fear that's there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So then I began to go through the word of God, and I began to confess out loud what his word said about me. And I began to say that it's his desire to bless me. It is. He says that us being mere men, know how to bless our children, then how much more him? Amen. He tells us that if our children were to ask us for bread or for fish, we wouldn't give them a stone. We wouldn't give them a serpent. So then why do we think, yes, faith over fear? Why do we think God would have anything else for us? So then the scripture says that I can pull down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? what his word says about me. So then when I'm getting ready to go on an interview and the enemy says, you know that you're not qualified for that job. When the enemy says, do you see all these people here? Why would they choose you? Then I have something to answer back with because I'm the chosen. Because he said that if I believe that I've requested of him, then I have it. Amen? We have to address the thoughts that come to our mind. We have to cast them down. Amen? We have to. It's important because if those things began to take root in us, then the fear grows and the faith continues to die. Then how do we increase the faith? It says by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. So then we're renewing our mind. We're renewing how we think, what we think on a daily basis. It's not something that we just do in order to conquer one situation. God bless you, Sister Trish. Thank you, Prophet is Right, for joining us. We continue at all times. You know, I had to learn that there's not a place to take the armor off other than in his presence. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's not a vacation for me to allow thoughts that are against the word of God to run through my mind, because then they create a place where they think they can rule. And it comes back up at the most unopportune moment. Amen. It's a meme that I saw that says, why stop thinking about what if it fails? Let's think about what if it succeeds. You know, we can come up with 100 reasons not to do something because we say it's not going to be successful. But can you come up with 100 reasons of why it will be successful? Because Christ lives down on the inside of us. God bless you, Sister Stephanie. Stephanie from Texas has joined us. It lives down on the inside of us. The Spirit of the Lord does. So then my ideas, the creativity that he's given me, it's not my own. I understand that it's God. I understand that it comes from him. So then what do I do? What do I do? I trust the Christ that's within me. I'm not trusting Kathy's ability. I'm not trusting Kathy's education. I'm trusting the Christ that's in me because I understand that in him I move and have my being, that my existence is in him. What do I do to that? I put feet and hands to what God has given me. So that's how I have with work. Because he's given the idea. He's told me what to do. And I'm following that. And you all, don't be concerned about, my knees are knocking. Or I feel a lump in my throat. It's okay. It's okay to continue with that lump in your throat. It's okay to continue with your knees knocking. Why? Because this that I'm doing in faith. I'm moving on what the word of God says is for me. What did he say for me? He said, no good thing will I withhold from you. Trish, he said, no good thing will he withhold from you. Denise, he said, no good thing will he hold from you. God bless you, Sister Antonetta. No good thing. He tells us that. When we find ourselves in a place where we don't, quote unquote, and I use air quotes, that we don't feel God, or we feel like he's not present, then we have to go back to his word that says that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Why? Because the word is absolute. The word is absolute. There's no gray in it. If God said it, then that's what it is. Amen? I don't have to feel it. Why? Because feelings are temporary. They're subject to change. They're flesh. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you, Juan. There is no reason as a believer for us to not be able to conquer the different fears in our life. You all, I want you to share with me another fear. We're talking about the fear of failure and how to apply practical application to it. We make a plan and we stand on it. The woman of God said, what do we do if it's not God's plan for us? If it's not God's plan for us, I guarantee you he will make that clear. And it won't be, it's not something that we're afraid of. It's okay. You all, please hear me. It's okay to make a mistake. All it requires is another decision. Okay to make a mistake. All it requires is another decision. We don't have to wallow in it. We don't have to pay penance for it. We don't have to sit down for 5 years. God is saying, my son gave his life because I knew that you were going to make mistakes. God bless you, Apostle Kaiser. It's important that we understand that it's okay to make a mistake. You don't have to be afraid of failing when you know all. If it doesn't work, all I have to do is try something else. How many times have we read that multimillionaires failed at 5, 6, 7, 10 things before they got that one thing that took them where they wanted to go? But what if they had stopped? I've read where men have filed bankruptcy 5 and 6 times because something didn't work. But then what do? You get up. And you say, well, that didn't work. Next. There's not a fear of failure when you know that the odds are already stacked for you. What do I mean by that? Okay. It's already set that you are a winner. Get that. Get that in your mind and in your heart. I am a winner. I am a winner no matter what. I am a winner no matter what. Brother Kendall, how can you say that? I don't have my mortgage this month. This do not feel like a winner. This is not what God said. Okay. We back to feelings again. The word of God says you and I are winners. It says we're above and not beneath. That's the word. So then, if God is for us, we go back to faith. What do I believe? Do I believe God is for me? Do I believe that God wants me to succeed? Even though I haven't seen success in my family, I've seen them go to church all of my life. They went every Sunday. They went every Wednesday. They went every Friday. They went every Saturday. And nobody has $500 in the bank. Do I believe that I'm the one that's going to make the difference? If we would look at the hard truths, if we would say Grandmama wouldn't give but $2, she never paid her tithe. So then God was never in covenant with her financially. Amen. You all, there are some things that we believe because of our eye experience, EYE, because of what we've seen. And we've made that God, and it's not true. The 29 people that are in your circle is not equivalent to the 8 billion people on the earth. Amen. Thank you, Prophet is right. She said, fear of not ever getting married, the fear of not being able to have children, and the fear of dying. God bless you, Brother Mac. The one that we're going to look at first is the fear of never getting married. Again, the answer to fear is always faith. So then, how do I apply an application to being afraid of never getting married. I have to decide, you all hear what I'm saying? I have to decide that being single or being unmarried is not a horrible thing. Decide that there is more to life than just marriage. Because you can't torment me about something that I have not made an idol. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we have desires and visions that we have actually made an idol to it. We've actually made an idol to being married. We actually have made an idol to have children. And anything that we've made an idol to, the enemy can come and torment us with it, because in Christ, I'm okay with his sovereignty. I'm okay with the fact that I can trust that with him not withholding any good thing for me, with his thoughts being good toward me, that when it's time for me to marry, if it's time for me to marry, it's going to be well. Enemy comes and says, well, aren't you lonely? And don't you want this? And don't you want that? Then I have to address those questions with the word of God. How could I possibly be lonely when Christ is always with me? Well, don't you want a physical contact? Don't you want a friend that you could sit down and talk to? Don't you want to go out? You can do all of those things unmarried. You can have healthy, godly relationships. But those take investment, just like marriage does. Are you willing to make that investment and live holy? It's a question. The fear of doctors and the fear of being broke. We're going to do the fear of being broke first. It is in the body of Christ. The fear of being broke is a place where we can apply planning, so then we have a budget. Amen. We don't live beyond our means. We give according to the word. We give our tithes and our offerings are from our first fruits. Amen. And in doing that, again, we're applying faith. So then from the giving of our first fruits with tithes and offerings, we're making a financial covenant with God. We're being a cheerful giver. We're taking care of orphans and widows. Taking care of for one person might be $5 a month. Taking care of for someone else could be $1,000 a month. Your tithe may be $150 a week. Somebody else's tithe may be $1,500 a week. But obedience for giving makes a covenant with God, who has the resource for everything, and who is never broke, and who sees and knows everything. That's the kind of covenant I want. That's the kind of covenant that I'm not willing to break, amen? Because I know that no matter what, he's got my back. The stock market changes. It goes up and down. I have to watch that. I don't have to watch God. And I believe investing in stocks, but I know I have to watch it. When we say that we want something, to attain something, if we want to attain financial release, if we want to attain the ability to not have to be concerned about finances, then we have to, in the kingdom of God, we have to apply the principles of the word, which is that when you give, it's going to be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The natural application is a budget. Do you all hear me? A budget. This is how much I make. This is what I'm going to spend, and this is what I'm going to save. This savings is not for a weekend for the movies. This savings is for emergency. This savings is for when something occurs and maybe I'm going to be out of work for a while, or maybe I need to take off, or maybe I'm going to do something else. But we have a savings that's not touched. Then if you're going to save for a vacation, that's a different savings. Amen? Vacation. Faith will always conquer fear. Always. Amen? We're going to look at, Dr. Rice said the B word, budget. Lord have mercy. Apostle Kazis said, now to the unmarried and the widows, I say it's good for them to stay unmarried as I do, but if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Amen. And you know what? Thank you for sharing that, Apostle Kazis. You all, we have abused that scripture so much. We're so taking it out of context. We have so used it not as I believe the man of God wrote it. You know, we believe that Paul wrote Corinthians, and in that saying, I believe that it's good for them to stay unmarried as I do. How many of you do something and you think that that's good, right? He says, but if you can't control it, then you should marry. Why? Because fornication is going to take you to hell. Unrepented fornication, continued practice of it, is displeasing. Amen. We know that, right? Okay. The other thing that we're going to look at is fear of doctors. You know, you all, I'm just going to confess, I was horrible. Horrible. Time that I remember going into a hospital. I had fallen asleep reading a book, long story short, and burned the top of a foot, and I was treating it. I was putting peroxide on it and something else on it, keeping it clean, and I was waiting for it to heal. And it was taking a little while for it to heal. And long story short, a friend of mine who either was a medical student at the time or a doctor, I don't remember where she was at, educational-wise, she said to me, that's a third-degree burn. You need to go to the doctor. Girl, this ain't no third-degree burn. Why did I disagree with the person that's what their training is? Because I didn't want to go. I knew it was something wrong, but I didn't want to go see about it. I was going to believe the Lord. I had prayed. And it was going to be all right. You all, needless to say, the mercy of God allowed me to go to the hospital. And when I got there, of course, she was right, and it was a third-degree burn. And they had to do a skin graft and from my thigh to cover the wound on my foot. It required me to stay in the hospital overnight. I do not think I slept. Someone said that I was perched like a bird. Not one, you know, just woke. Why? Because of fear. Fear of, I had heard so many stories that I believed. Hear what I'm saying. Not only did I hear them, but I believed them. Not only did I hear them, but I believed the stories that I heard about so-and-so went to the doctor and they died. So-and-so went to the hospital for something minor and they died. So then what? I didn't want to be in the hospital. Well, what happened to your trust in God? What happened to the fact that I can rely on Him? I'm not relying on just the doctors and the nurses, that He has control over them as well. Amen. God bless you. You all, my sister is on the air. Thank you so much for joining us. It is imperative that we remember what we've taken in, what we've heard. It becomes a seed in us, and it's demonstrated in our actions. What we believe, we demonstrate in what we live every day. So then when it came time for them to do the skin graft, most normal human beings that do not have fear, they would have taken anesthesia. I instead insisted that instead of anesthesia, that they just give me a leg block and get with the, and do what they needed to do, and we and I was going to stay woke. Now, you all, first of all, if they if God had allowed anything to happen, I wouldn't have known. Honestly, fear is something that we have to conquer with faith. Our faith is in God. It's not in man. It's not in protocol. It's not in procedure. It's in Christ. That's where our faith is at. It's in his word. What he said he would do, who he told us we are. God bless you, Minister Al Taylor. So good to see you. Bless you. Glenda, thank you so much for joining us. Pastor Yvonne, thank you. It is very important that we understand fear is not a part of our daily lives. You all, this is an interactive program, and what we're talking about tonight is fear, and we're asking people to share with us something that they're afraid of or something that they've had to conquer being afraid of, and we're going to share the practical application of getting rid of that fear as well as the biblical answer for it. Amen. The Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. Where do we find perfect love at? We find perfect love in God. We find perfect love in Jesus. Perfect love. So then what do we have to receive it? We have to open our hearts and our minds to receive it, to know that it is because he said that it is. God bless you, Sister Paulette. It's important that we understand without a shadow of a doubt that we are winners already, regardless of the outcome. Regardless if I have to do it over, regardless if I have to get up and try something different. You all, I believe in multi-streams of income. I don't believe that God wants us to be concerned about money in any way, but I believe he wants us to be responsible. So then what do we have? We have a budget, and we use it because that's that practical application. We don't live in a one-dimensional world, so then we can't act like we live in a one-dimensional world. Tithes and offerings give us a financial covenant with God. Applying his principles of giving is a financial covenant with him. For what you do with the 90% that he gives you, you can grow it, or you can waste it. Honestly, you will find people that make less than other people and they have attained more in savings, in material items, because of their practice. There's a practical application to everyday life because we live on earth. For real. You all, will you share with us another fear? We talked about the fear of not getting married, the fear of not having children. We talked about the fear of failure. We have about a good 10 minutes. Is there another fear that you all would like to talk about? Thank you. Apostle Pisces said the fear of speaking out about sexism and racism in the midst of people that encourage it versus encouraging, celebrating diversity. Excuse me. Apostle Kaiser, what I believe you're saying is the ability, the fear of standing up for what you believe. Is that what you're saying? In the midst of people that don't believe what you believe? I'm waiting for her response to make sure that I understand what she was saying. But you all, I believe that's what she's saying. It's imperative that we understand that because we live in more than one dimension, the scripture tells us that fairy is present. Agree with me. I don't have to fight and argue every platform. There are going to be platforms that God says speak about, and when those platforms come, I promise you, fear is going to leave. Because when God tells us to say something, knees knocking, tears running, obedience in our belly is going to make you speak. And after we have practiced obedience, then it becomes a way of life, and it's not difficult because it becomes a part of you. It becomes harder to disobey than it is to obey. God bless you, Brother Andrew. It's important that we understand that it's a practical practice. How do we do that? God gives us instructions, and then we have to choose to follow them. The instructions are in His Word, and they're very simple, but it's a choice and a decision. And what we were saying earlier and sharing earlier is that it's important that we understand that it's okay to make a mistake. All it requires is for us to get back up and do it again, to do it again. You don't stop. You don't give up. You get back up and you do it again. Why? Because sometimes it takes more than one time. We shared about people in business who have filed bankruptcy a number of times or had ideas that did not take off, several of them, prior to their success. So then we make the decision, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do this again, and I'm going to succeed at it. And we stay right there. Why? Because the decision is, I already know that God said I'm a winner. I already understand that my being a winner is not based on the outcome of what I'm about to do. Me being a winner is based on what He did on the cross and my acceptance of it. I became a winner that day, that moment, automatically. Now, it's my choice to choose the abundant life that he has set aside for me. That's a choice. My eternity is secure, but how I live on this earth is dependent upon my choices and my decisions every day. Thank everyone that joined us on today, everyone that's going to listen to the replay. We're going to pray. If you have any questions, I ask that you send those questions in, and I will reply to them. Father, we thank you and we magnify you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Father, we thank you that thine anointing destroy every yoke and lift every burden. We loose the peace of God and the faith of God to your people now in the name of Jesus. We come against every hindrance. We pull down every thought, every imagination that's contrary to your word. I thank you for a people that are powerful. I thank you for a people that are already winners. God, I thank you that we have chosen to have the mindset and to think on the things that you said think on. Father, that you said that your thoughts toward us are good, hallelujah, and not evil, that therefore an expected end and a good success. Father, thank you that you'll withhold no good thing from us. Thank you that it's your desire and your pleasure to bless us. Your precious Son, Jesus' name, we thank you and we magnify you, and it is so. Amen. Good night and God bless you. Thank you all for joining, and we look forward to hearing from you. Next week, our subject is going to be abuse. Next week, next Friday, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, the subject is going to be abuse. Tell someone, let's talk about it. I'm Ellie Kendall, and we're making life, Mason. Good night.